Secretary of State Anthony Blinken said yesterday that President Biden has committed to making sure every dollar the U.S. has at their disposal for Ukraine will be pushed out the door between now and January 20th, when President-elect Trump is due to be sworn in. Let's go to Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, I guess the question is, what happens after January 20th? And also, as far as the money going to Ukraine now, how far will those dollars go?
And indeed, Bob, those are the key questions to ask. Hello from Kyiv. It's snowing today, very light snow, which would be poetic, but it's also a reminder here that it could be a very difficult winter if Russia does continue with its ongoing destruction of Ukrainian infrastructure. And listening to Secretary Blinken's comments about pushing money out the door, again, it's very important to be precise about it. It's not new spending. This is part of what Congress approved in April, especially last April, in that $60 billion spending package. So much of that has still not been allocated. And it's not cash that's being, there's not cash, falling down around President Zelensky's head. That's sometimes what the opposition says in America. But it's actually, most of it is the valuation of old equipment. And it's equipment that the president, with this, it's called the Presidential Drawdown Authority, and President Biden and any president can actually determine the valuation, the price point of this old equipment. So it's not even based on how much the United States paid in 1992 for a tank. It's actually the president gets to choose what the current value is. And so they can actually, it gives the president a great amount of leeway to really send kind of like whatever he wants to Ukraine. And the question is, you can say you're sending billions and billions of dollars, but the key things, and President Zelensky has made this clear, what Ukraine needs is permission to use these precise American weapons to hit the bases from which Russia attacks Ukraine. And that's the only thing that's really needed to turn this around. More and more dollars are not going to make a difference. In fact, it's probably going to continue to wear out the American public and saying, hey, we've paid enough for this and we don't want to do it anymore because it doesn't seem like it's working. And so what we hear from Secretary Blinken is really the continuation of what the Biden policy has been all along. And as we look at this in the context of, one of the big announcements yesterday for the newly forming Trump 2 administration is that Trump has selected Tulsi Gabbard to be his director of national intelligence. And this has pretty much every single pro-Ukraine person extremely worried because Tulsi Gabbard has been a big voice against Ukraine. Whether she's on the Joe Rogan show or doing other interviews on the media circuit, she has been consistently, since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, a voice against Ukraine. She calls this a proxy war. She says, as the Daily Telegraph was quoting her today, she tweeted in 2022, this war and suffering could easily have been avoided if the Biden administration and NATO had simply acknowledged Russia's legitimate security concerns regarding Ukraine becoming a member of NATO. And she, her voice is, I think the reason why Trump picked her and why her voice resonates with a lot of Americans is because after 20 years of Afghanistan and Iraq, of which she's a veteran, she's an American veteran, Americans, when they hear Washington talk about war, they are rightly extremely skeptical, and they don't want these forever wars. So she's been a very clear critic of the sort of what Ike called the military-industrial complex. And you know what? There's a lot to that criticism. As we even see in Ukraine, for example, I'll meet Ukrainian entrepreneurs out of necessity who are creating robots for the front lines that they can sell for $50,000. They can produce it and sell it and keep their team paid for $50,000. The same type of robot is sold in America, created and sold in America for $450,000 because it's so easy to Defense Department contracts. They're easily bloated. In fact, Mike Waltz, the congressman from Florida, who Trump has picked to be his national security advisor, he went viral during the Ukraine spending debates last spring. He held up a plastic bag of basically electrical bolts that he says this bag, you know, the retail value is about $100, but the Defense Department spent $90,000 for that bag. I see this here, and all the Americans who are helping here, Americans in the military, also investors, you know, they see what Ukrainians are showing, that you don't need to spend all that money. You can actually, often the technology here, like the robot I was mentioning, is actually better than the more expensive items that the Department of Defense buys. And I've seen it. I've met some of these defense contractors. They're not very pleasant people always, and their motive is often profit. And they don't like it when someone shows that you can do it a lot cheaper. And so for those reasons, you know, what Tulsi Gabbard often says when she criticizes the military-industrial complex, that's why it resonates. But, you know, when it comes to Ukraine, I mean, she, you know, and she speaks as an outsider, as someone who's against the CIA, for example. And that's why Trump is putting her in that position to sort of clean it up. But she strangely speaks the language of a CIA operative, I have to say, because she's saying that this is all about using Ukrainians as chess pieces, completely ignoring the fact that, it was Ukrainian people who stood in the streets in 2014 and Ukrainian people who for 2.5 years, despite the hell that they face, insist on being free. And it's exactly the CIA sort of mentality that says, you know what, let's keep your freedom in check and let's manage global affairs in a calmer way. I think as we look to what Tulsi Gabbard says, there might be a lot of resonance to her critiques of the system, but her information and facts about the reality of Ukrainian people is completely missing. Perhaps this will come up during the Senate hearings, but it's a heavy piece of news for people in Ukraine today.
Yes, I can imagine, and a nervous time for you. Meanwhile, the wonderful culture of Ukraine that you often tell us about, Joe, is coming to Chicago. The Grand Kyiv Ballet performing the Nutcracker this Friday and Saturday at the Athenaeum Center on North Southport. And I imagine it'll be a full house this weekend for that.
I hope it will. And that reminds me, tomorrow I'll have to give you an update on our friends, the Cultural Forces, the traveling soldier musicians. They're still making their way through the U.S. They're in California. I think they're playing at they played the Reagan Library yesterday, and they're playing at Stanford and Berkeley today. And unfortunately, not going to Chicago, but I hope people can at least go to the ballet there. So
yes, this weekend, the Grand Kyiv Ballet at the Athenaeum Center. Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.